Hello everyone, welcome to The Network Effect, episode 6, season 2, where we always have a guest.
And we're going to be discussing all about our network and Access FinTech. We've got a guest here, Dylan Ramey, today from Namo21, and our very own Corey Olson.
Thank you, Joe and Corey, for having me. Greatly appreciate it.
Anytime. So we're in our studio today. It looks very fancy. So I'm very pleased that we're doing it with Namo21.
Yes.
only fitting. And we actually did this all for you, Dylan.
Well, we greatly appreciate it. Yes.
We fancy.
What are the pain points for the loans market?
Yeah, so I think the biggest problem I see or hear about, and even in the working group last week, is just that communication and transfer of information between multiple parties. We're still using notices, and yes, we're still using faxes, still. And people complain about it year over year, but yet here we still are. And, you know, it came up quite a bit last week in the working group that the communications is just never ending. It's the emails, the back and forth, keeping track of who owns the next response. Where do I find this information? I have a break. You figure it out. You know, who wants to do all the digging? And actually, one of the agents brought up the fact that the person goes to set up, this is actually perfect for you guys, goes to set up a new asset, and they say, hey, can you tell me with the issuer name, the facility, the margin, the spread? And the agent says it's in the credit agreement, but the person literally wants them to tell them what everything is
that
because
is
they don't want to go through.
Use case for Namo. Yeah. Hit the button, create assets. Yeah. It's like magic.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I think one of the things that we're doing right now is really breaking down the barriers between agents and lenders, getting them into a room, coming up with solutions that work for both of them, not just a buy-side driven technology, which I think has been historically the case. And so, yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot to do, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And I think the being there last week, the conversations between the two sides and everyone being in the same room was so interesting in that forum, because they all were able to have a voice and they all voiced their own pain points. But then there was always a reply and there was always another side. So it was actually really interesting for us, I think, as a company to see the discussion and those that conversation that's being had.
It was very honest too.
Yeah, it was very open. There was no almost like judging, you know, it was very right, lay your cards on the table and we can talk about it openly.
So yeah.
And I think that's obviously the podcast name being The Network Effect.
Yes. is
a little bit of a cliche, but that is exactly something that we're looking to do.
Yeah, so quick plug for anyone who would like to join our working group, you should, because next up is solving those problems we've been complaining about with Namo21.
So for Namo21, where are the pain points and what are they solving?
Sure. So I think at the core of what we see in the market as it relates to data pain points specifically is data fragmentation. You have all of this data locked in these complex legal languages that are tough to unearth, that requires, you know, a very expensive lawyer at times. There's data silos. There's not a unified data taxonomy that is agreed and used front to back. And so you just get in, you're in this situation where there's no single source of truth. And a single source of truth never exists, which where we are in the ecosystem, which is at the very beginning of that life cycle, from that point forward, I think it's just a trickle-down effect of which you can never come back from. And so I think that what Namo brings to the table is the ability to provide that authoritative golden source data that can bring cohesion from the front to the back office, eliminate those data silos, and bring a tremendous amount of efficiency to the organization.
How did the partnership between Access FinTech and Namo21 come about?
So Namo is the brainchild of our founder and CEO, Samira Kokar. She spent 25 years at White & Case writing and structuring these complex legal agreements. And so she's intimately familiar with the complexity and structure of these documents, but probably more importantly, the challenges around operationalizing that data. And so 4 or 5 years ago, she started building Namo21, And the way that we'd like to describe NAMU is that it is the Google Map and Translate of complex legal credit agreements. Mm. And the reason that we use that terminology is because NAMU is effectively able to ingest a loan document, locate, map, and translate key data and provisions at scale and speed.
Amazing.
I joke around with Dylan about the control F, finding the credit agreement, hoping it's a readable format, hitting control F and trying to find the term that you're looking for, often not in the place you want it to be, often not interpreted the way you want it to be interpreted.
It's funny that you say that, but in one of my very first conversations with Samira, I said something similar. At my last credit shop, I was responsible for the execution of our loan cessation program. And we had well over 250 loans that had to be manually scanned to identify fallback language, hardwire versus et cetera. And I often think about how much easier our lives would have been and how much money we would have saved if we had been able to have access to NAMU 21 and be able to quickly just jump to that data the way that you can with so many key provisions in the credit agreement.
I can imagine it would have made your life a lot easier, I'm sure. So in terms of the partnership, how did that come about? Obviously, you guys knew each other. Where does the technology fit in together? And when did you start talking about this?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Samir and I had been speaking for well over a year. Definitely liked each other's technology. With any partnership, is trying to figure out what makes sense. But it was clear to us that there was a complementary partnership or service happening, and so we just started digging in more and more. I'd say, between the two of us, we basically almost complete the life cycle.
So once NAMU has ingested and digitized and extracted all the key data and terms, which we do in a matter of 3.5 to 6.5 minutes, depending on the length of the credit agreement, of course, a couple hundred pages, 3.5 minutes. When you get north of that, of course, you can inch up closer to 6 minutes, but certainly at scale and speed. And so once we've digitized and extracted that key data, we present that back to you in a form of our UI.
So if you are looking at a term and it was open for interpretation, this is where you can just click on a button and get to that part of the credit agreement, which when I saw it, I was blown away.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then taking that even a step further is, when you think about data coming out of a credit agreement, i.e. let's use maturity date for an example, which is obviously incredibly pertinent to your data set as well. Maturity date is very seldom just spelled out, in the credit agreement. It's a series of connected data points, very likely closing date plus 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. And so NAMU doesn't just provide you the definitions to maturity date. It also is smart enough and understands the connectivity between those various terms that is set out for you in a very super easy, navigable way using our NAMU native functionality, such that it understands that maturity date and closing date are connected data points or data elements.
Yeah, and so a lot of people are asking, what are you two doing together? So just to kind of bring it all together, as most know, we are taking in data from multiple sources, whether that be agents, lenders, buy side, admins, trustees, and offering a platform where you can look at that data, but then also match on it, predict issues, and communicate to resolution. Now, with NAMU 21, a lot of these questions or things you need to go back to the credit agreement to research is now at your fingertips. So I give an example. I'm working with my agent because I don't agree on the spread. Maybe there was a margin change or something happened and there's a step down. Instead of control F, if I have the credit agreement, I can then just click a button and access FinTech, to put it very simply, and basically access that information. That speeds up the time to resolution, it clears things up, probably avoids a number of queries altogether. But that's just one of the many ways that we're looking to work together.
Yeah, how long has your relationship between both Access FinTech and NAMU 21 been going on?
Yeah, so I started talking to Samira, gosh, I think it's been well over a year now. Introduction from one of the investors in Namo 21. Obviously loved the technology as soon as I met it. And if you've met Samira, you're automatically impressed with her. But then I actually introduced Dylan to Samira. So through meeting, and then our colleague Craig kind of suggested it. And yeah, so I made the introduction. So you've been there how long now?
The end of this month will be 4 months.
Amazing.
So still super early on. I've been blessed with many unique opportunities over the years. One great example of that is how I ended up in the loan industry to start with. I landed with a middle market buy-side shop. And so I did that for 7 years. And then by virtue of what I was doing at that shop, I had met locally within Dallas area, at that time, which was JP Morgan, WSO team. And so I joined them to run product for their core group of products, WSO Administrator Reporting and Accounting. And so I did that for a few years, and then was given the opportunity by Access Fintech's very own Craig Boardman to actually run the product development and product management for the entire suite of WSO products. I'd gotten to a point at my former employer where, you know, I had built a pretty successful, high-achieving team and felt like I had done all I could do or that I needed to do, and I was ready to move on to that next challenge. And as I mentioned earlier, Corey graciously made the introduction to Samira and I, and the rest, 9 months later, is history.
You know, Namo 21, just like Access Fintech, started off in the BSL market. It's the natural first step. But, you know, the private credit market is growing at a rapid pace. It's the hot. Actually, I read recently that private credit is Googled more than Taylor Swift is at this point. I read it on LinkedIn or something, but I think it's pretty funny. So clearly a hot topic.
Wow.
Taylor is gutted about it as well.
Yes.
She's heartbroken about it.
So private credit, yeah. So Access Fintech has a private credit working group in London and New York. In fact, we just hosted our second EMEA version in London last week. It was really well attended, several buy-side firms as well as third-party agents. So, you know, in that working group, we're talking a lot about the issues in the market, and the private credit market is just even worse. So for anyone who complains about lack of standardization in BSL, you know, some would call the private credit market the wild, wild west.
That's right.
So forget identifiers, you know, you don't even necessarily have an issuer name that's matching. So we're definitely focusing quite a bit on that. You know, the issues you have just get a lot worse when you move into this space where there's not a lot of information available.
So what can we expect next from Access Fintech and Namo 21?
Wouldn't you like to know? actually, we're not fully ready to say everything that we're doing, but we can expect to have some sort of wireframe/demo within this quarter, I'd say.
Yeah.
So Dylan and I have been working closely together on exactly how that looks. You know, we have our tech guys on it. So yeah, expect great things. I think the goal ultimately, as we've mentioned, is cutting down on resolution, giving people that one source of the truth, kind of just bringing it all together.
I think I would just add that, you know, that is why that's been a focus for Corey and I this week, being in London together, is coming together across from each other, sitting down, going through, formally documenting what we think the value proposition use cases are, so that we can really put that storyboard together for our tech team that are due to meet and collaborating in the next week or so.
In terms of two vendors, I know that we've spoken about it in our working groups, and it's a big talking point of yours, Corey, and you've mentioned it in some of the other podcasts, but two vendors working together. It seems that the market wants that at the moment. Did you want to touch on that a little bit? Because I know that sometimes people comment on that, and it's a big talking point for you in some of the podcasts.
Yeah, I think so. First of all, I think that the market is now seeing more technology than they've ever seen before. Sure. It's almost so much that people are a little bit stunned, like, where do I go? But, you know, as I mentioned in the working group, and I stand by, I think you should choose a vendor that is looking to work with other vendors. You know, I think working together is how we're going to get things done. Is there going to be some overlap here and there? Yeah, absolutely. But every customer needs something different, and there's not going to be, you know, two identical demands out there.
And I just think from our perspective, from Namo 21's perspective, is that we feel like there's still enough problems to be solved in this industry, enough to go around, I might say, and such that, you know, come one, come all, we just really are, I think, both interested in, as well as other vendors, in truly affecting change.
Yeah, and I think that that's the one thing Dylan and I bring to the table is we've both done it. We've been in the weeds. People joke like the loan market, everyone's so close because we've all been through it together. Yeah, it's a very niche market and it's very manual. And so I feel like we're both super passionate about it and it takes people like us to actually make the change. I remember Ingrid coming to her first loan conference with me and I'm hugging everyone. She's like, what? Usually people shake hands. I'm like, no, we hug.
That's funny you say that. Last year I went to the LSTA in a conference in October and I brought two of my coworkers from my last organization that had never been there before. And I thought I'd prepared them for what they were about to walk into. Apparently I didn't, because the next night over dinner, they said that it felt more like a 10-year high school reunion.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Opal, you just know everybody at these conferences, but it's fun.
Well, it's because you've got to deal with so many faxes, I think.
Yeah. Hey, did you get that fax?
Well, I just think it's also a testament to the people in this industry.
Agreed.
While it is a very challenging environment and challenging industry, you rarely see people dip into this loan space and then dip back out. It's like once you dip your toe in it, you become a lifer.
Yeah.
And it's not that you couldn't go and do something else. It's really that you don't want to, because while with all the challenges and roadblocks that we face, at the end of the day, it's super interesting and gratifying to go to work and solve some of these problems each and every day, whether you're on the buy side, whether you're an agency, whether you're a fintech. And, you know, I think another thing that Corey and I would certainly agree on is the people are the best thing about this industry. I just can't imagine that there's any other industry out there that has quite the quality of people as this one does.
My friends are like, what do you mean you like to go to work? I'm like, I love my job. But the funny, just really quick, Paul Taylor is a big, great example of this. The guy actually retired and then he got pulled back out of retirement like 2 months by the LMA to help solve problems and came to our working group last week. I'm like, I love it. That's just proof that you can't leave this industry.
Yeah,
I think it's also really important to have people like yourselves that have been in the industry and then using you guys and your knowledge and coming together to solve those issues. Corey, Dylan, thank you so much for coming on The Network Effect. Really exciting to hear about the partnership. If you do want to hear anything more about Number 21 and Access FinTech Partnership, please head to our LinkedIn or there'll be a link below. Hopefully, we'll catch you next time.